Curtis musically led the way. One of my favorite parts in one of his songs said,
"People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me."
Good morning. Music, like poetry, has a message, and history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of our Quest listeners to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our Quest moment, where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, Quest Youth Radio presents another edition of Diamonds, Definitions, and Curtains with our student host, Justin Hill. Now I'd like for our panelists that are on the line to just chime in by saying good morning and, you know, everybody's microphone is on and keep your background music down. All right. Okay. So that being said, we have the librarian on the line, Mr. Tamir Davis. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
Yes. And we have Mr. Harris on the line. Good morning, Mr. Harris.
Good morning. Bright moments.
All right. Indeed, a bright moment. And we have Tanisha Gardner on the line. Tanisha, good morning.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
All right. Thank you for joining us. And now, our first student host with his first segment, The Real Deal, Justin Hill. Justin, good morning, and take it away with your first segment.
Good morning, everybody. It is student host Justin Hill from WSLU. And it is now time for my first segment of Diamonds. History is like a diamond. This prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Marcus Garvey. And Marcus Garvey was a Jamaican politician, activist, publisher, journalist, and entrepreneur. He was the founder and first president general of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, through which he sought to build a black governed nation in Africa. Garvey struggled to gather a following in Jamaica, so in 1916, he moved to home, New York, and further established branches of the UNIRA. Some of Garvey's teachings were based on economic independence and independent black communities. And that is my first segment of Diamonds. I thank God's first name. And this is student host Justin Hill.
Get out on me, but that's about enough. You put your hands on me again.
confess I stumbled deep in love, I grew dependency. I was too blind to see just how it was affecting me. All that I knew is you was all the man I had, and I was scared to let you go, even though you treated me bad. But I don't wanna see my kids see me getting beat down by daddy smacking mommy all around. You say I'm nothing without you, but I'm nothing with you. A man don't really love you if he hits you. Yeah. This is my notice of the tool. I'm not taking it no more. I'm not your personal. That's not what I'm here for. Ain't nothing good don't come to you till you do right by me. Brother, you waiting.
Who you calling me?
And we're back. Welcome back to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. I just want to say, you know, it was just last week when I pretty much put together the framework and outline for today's show. And one of the things that I, unbeknownst to me at the time, that I actually put down as an outline was self-determination, self-awareness, and self-reliance. So when you hear those terms or phrases together, determination, awareness, and self-reliance, when you hear those together and you think of Marcus Garvey, what comes to mind? Tanisha, I want to come to you first. What comes to mind when you hear that?
When I definitely hear about Marcus Garvey, the first thing comes to mind, it's his quote when he says, liberate the minds of men, and ultimately you will liberate the bodies of men. And I think that's very powerful, because once you change and alter the way that you think, you have the power to create your best life ever, even though you might be plagued with different circumstances. Just the power of the mind to be able to figure things out and to be able to overcome even the most atrocities, I think it's very powerful.
All right. Thank you so much for your input and comment. Mr. Harris, I'm going to come to you, and not with the same question, but something similar. Part of the outline that I put together last week, it just said self-esteem. So when you think of Marcus Garvey and you think of self-esteem, what comes to mind?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind to me is the whole idea that we have, you know, like Tanisha was saying, we have to stop looking at ourselves in a different way, and we have to continue to do things that are going to be for us and by us. The whole UNIA organization was about doing stuff together, working, building black capital. And, you know, and because, you know, he definitely started a lot of businesses, you know, most of the, you know, people think he was just trying to get a boat to go back to Africa, but it was a whole lot more to what he was trying to do. He was trying to build self-reliance here, you know, even though these weren't necessarily original ideas, but he was one of the brothers that helped move it forward in his time. And that's, to me, that's what's the most important thing. You know, people took a look at FUBU, For Us, By Us. You know, that was the mindset of Marcus Garvey, like almost 100 years prior to FUBU coming out.
All right. I want to go to Tamir Davis. Tamir, part of my outline, here I go again, was activism and revolutionary mindset. When you think of Marcus Garvey and you think of activism and a revolutionary mindset, what comes to your mind as it relates to Marcus Garvey?
As it relates to Marcus Garvey, one of the things that that's important in any idea of independence is economics, having an economic structure to create an unconditional sense of sustainability for the people within that particular nation. To have developed the Negro World newspaper and not just have himself writing for this particular Negro World newspaper, the leading thinkers and scholars during that time, prior to the Harlem Renaissance, because we got to remember that Marcus Garvey came into the country for one primary reason, Booker T. Washington, and develop a plan because he was enamored with some ideas of Booker T. Washington. So that's why he came into the country. Once he entered into the country, I'm going to just go on to my mental notes. Once he entered into the country, he met a good, great brother by the name of Dr. Hubert Henry Harrison. He was considered the Black Socrates of Harlem during that particular time. So Hubert Henry Harrison actually introduced Marcus Garvey to the world of Harlem. Hubert Henry Harrison was a noted scholar, spoke about 8 or 9 different languages, and during that particular time, he was working for the United States Post Office as a clerk. Unfortunately, some of the people that opposed some of Marcus Garvey's views, and Hubert Henry Harrison was one of the leading writers from Negro World, had differences, and he was fired. And lo and behold, the person that the people that was involved with firing him wasn't white, they were black, because of Hubert Henry Harrison's staunch views of political radicalism, one of the great black socialists in the country during that particular time. So when you think about Marcus Garvey, a lot of people think about Marcus Garvey in of himself in terms of Negro World, some of the platforms and programs with UNIA, some of the things that were done. But people tend to forget that Marcus couldn't actually make those, honorable Marcus Garvey, couldn't actually make those prodigious movements, not just in the United States of America. He had chapters in Canada, had chapters in the Caribbean, had chapters in Africa. He couldn't make those movements without people being involved. So he had strong people that was involved with his W.A. Domingo, of the list goes on, of men and women. And they were thorough, too. There was one time that was cited that some of the law enforcement agencies, because he had his own facility, went to run in and get Marcus Garvey to stop speaking. The sisters got up and they said, "Speak, Garvey, speak." And as far as I understand, they had arms on that particular time to protect Marcus Garvey. So he had really strong people that was actually protecting him. If you read books by Tony Martin, great scholar on Marcus Garvey and Pan-Africanism, there's a whole slew of different great scholars that wrote about Marcus Garvey and all of his accomplishments and some of the social political differences and struggles with African Americans here in America who had different points of views as it related to the UNIA, as it related to the Starship, the Black Star Line Enterprise, so on and so forth. We know that later in life, remember, he did all of this prior to him passing away at the age of 52. So he accomplished a lot of great work in terms of scholarship, in terms of political activism, so on and so forth. And this was primarily done by his own people that were involved and them actually engaging in ergonomics to make this work. So that in of itself was threatening to the United States government. If we remember the development prior to it became being called the FBI, it was Bureau of Internal Affairs. It was an agency that was created to actually investigate possible threats. The name, the nomenclature of FBI came years later. So this is even prior to Marcus coming into this particular country. So he was seen as a threat in more than one level, because of his ideas, economics, because of his political points of views, because of his influence and having people actually go against some of the accommodationist ideas in terms of this country. So Marcus Garvey is a work to always be understood and studied in advance. But then there was people in Africa, such as Edward Wilmot Blyton and a lot of other different black scholars, Alexander Cromwell, that was very integral, Deuce Muhammad, in terms of this development of Pan-African thought. If you go as far back as 1919, if you go as far back as 1885 with the Berlin-Brussels Conference, that had led to Pan-African thought because the Europeans was looking to carve up Africa. Germany would get one part of Africa. Another country would get another part of Africa. So this was serious. And so Liberia was a place because Liberia was actually something that was developed and coined as far back as 1847 with the Monroe idea of sending African backs back to Africa. They were trying to accommodate and see if we can send all the Africans back. But during the Civil War, Lincoln agreed that we couldn't send all of the Africans back to Africa because it would break the economy. It would break the economy. So Marcus Garvey is a work, is a person that is to be continued to be studied ongoing. Thank you very much.
All right. And you definitely put a lot on the table there for us to divvy up, chop up, and look into for more research. Now, that being said, the colonialism idealism is probably one of the things that stood in the way of Marcus Garvey and pretty much put his own people against him. But that's something for another day. As we continue Quest Youth Radio, we celebrate for this moment with this song, Bob Marley and his birthday this weekend. We're jamming, man.
Satisfied. True love I know exists is the Lord. stand by my side with diamonds. I wanna jam it with you. We jamming, 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 we jamming. Hope you like jamming too. We jamming, we jamming, we jamming, we jamming. I wanna jam with you now. We jamming, we jamming.
Hope you like jamming.
Hey, I hope you like jamming. I hope you like a diamond too. I wanna jump it.
The melodic sounds of the one and only Bob Marley. And now we return to our student host, Justin Hill. Justin, good morning again. Take it away for your next segment.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And it is now time for my next segment of definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and the meanings so we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition segment is on the 14th Amendment. And the 14th Amendment addresses many aspects of citizenship and the rights of citizens. The 14th Amendment also addresses citizenship rights and equal protection under the law and was proposed in response to issues. The Supreme Court has ruled this clause makes most of the Bill of Rights as a cable to the states as it is the federal government. And that is it for my NAM segment. I thank you guys for listening. And this is student host Justin Hill on WSOU.
Mr. Harris, I want to bring you back in. Stevie Wonder, the man who initiated the birthday celebration for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., right, pretty much says you haven't done nothing. What do you know that the 14th Amendment has actually done?
The 14th Amendment really talks about enforcing the laws that were given to people in the 13th Amendment. You know, like the separation or the equal rights under the law clauses were used to help facilitate with the Plessy Ferguson court case. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, that was the that separate but equal was should be the law of the land, and at the time it was. And the 14th Amendment helped dispel that, and it was backed up by the it was used as a force under the Brown versus the Board of Education, you know, to help people understand that you know, that we kind of like the same folks. You know, it was the 13th Amendment that said we weren't animals anymore. And then the 14th Amendment says, okay, now that you're not animals, you know, there's certain things that we still not going to let you do. But it kind of opened up the doors to a lot of other legislation as far as, like I said, the separate but equal, the Brown versus the Board of Education. And it was also used to help facilitate some of the stuff that was going on in today's world, like the whole abortion situation was the basis of abortion. The Roe v. Wade thing was they used the 14th Amendment of people having, you know, personal property or personal rights that just can't be infringed by the government or the state. And then the Supreme Court, you know, obviously started an issue with that. It also said if you were part of an insurrection that was against the government, you can't, like, use that and then later, like, say, let me change my mind and then start to be part of the government again. Again, this is something that's being used today from the January 6th situation. You know, so, like, the politicians and all the other people who were a part of that insurrection, you know, should not be able to join the government again. And they would initially use that for the Confederates, you know, when they first was trying to come back, and they said, okay, all you Confederate leaders who was about, you know, leaving the country and stuff like that, you know, don't act like you're going to come back and try to be in charge of stuff anymore. You know, and the 14th Amendment, it touched a lot of people in different ways, and it's still touching folks today.
Okay. That's a lot. Tanisha Gardner, what comment would you like to make as it pertains to Justin's definition of the 14th Amendment, if any?
I think it's very interesting because it says the 14th Amendment is supposed to be equal protection of the laws. And it's so sad because when you look at Joe Biden and when he, you know, passed, especially with the drugs and the crack and how they put so many hard laws on, especially the African-American and, you know, people of color. And then now you see Hunter Biden when they actually have proof of him doing crack. And it's sad because it's like, shouldn't they get pardoned for that? You know, and I think that's something to think about and how they use the laws against us, especially with gerrymandering when it comes to voting, and also how they use redlining at one time, and it's still equivalent to today. I think these are the things to really look at and how the laws are being created and the power of a citizen where we can always go in front of the Congress or go in front of the Senate or even in our municipal councils and actually a lot of these laws amended and rewritten so it can really have its due process for all of us, because it always seems like it's always two sets of laws on the books, one for white and also black, because you can look out throughout the history all of these of the all the lawsuits or anything that pertain in the courts, and it's sad. And it's like, how do we change the stigma that we see right now to this day?
Now, I just want everybody to be aware that on social media, there are a lot of things that come out for a lot of different reasons. But it's not until we understand and comprehend what these things are trying to put across to the public that we are able to really understand. Tamir Davis, Mr. Davis, Justin's definition of the 14th Amendment, and what do you think?
What I think, one thing is that the agreed upon aspect of that when it was ratified in 1868 was that all citizens, all persons born naturalized in the United States, including former enslaved people, and guarantee all citizens equal protection under the United States constitutional laws. We have to understand that the 14th Amendment was amending any law that existed to make the constitutionality of the United States Constitution better for the collective, all of the people that live in the United States. And so after the 13th Amendment was ratified, they said that there would be no longer slaves, exception with those who had done a crime and would actually be in the penal system. That's where you have the black holes. You have those black holes that was developed so that when they agreed to allow blacks to be free or black slaves to be free, then they said, well, what we're going to do is create new laws, which are the black codes, to re-enslave them in that if they violate certain things, like if you look at, for example, a white woman, or if you did something that they deemed, and sometimes they would just come up with stuff that you done wrong. And that's where you have a plethora across the country of lynchings during the 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment, because blacks were receiving land, they were receiving rights, and to some degree, at least in writing, they tried to amend some of those wrongs that they had done for the, as it relates to slaves. But in reality, based on the arguments from my co-people on the call, is that there was no such thing as equal protection of the law as it related to black folks. And you can still see that today, that we don't have rights, and rights that we do have are not – it's a difference between de facto and de jure laws. The de facto reality, although there are laws saying that we consider equal, the de facto reality is that they go outside of the law to make their own rules to continue to allow us to be disenfranchised as a collective of people. And this is not just for African Americans, it's for Latin Americans, it's for the indigenous American Indians here, whereby land was taken from the indigenous American Indians, because we talk a lot about African Americans and we have rights to, because we are. But there are indigenous people that are in this country that actually was here before Columbus even set sail, but their rights have been violated. Their land been dismantled. If you look at the Seminole Indians, if you look at the Cherokee, so on and so forth, and now there's Dao roles that exist. If you go to the National Archives, that state that if you were connected or related to this particular person, we based on the funding that's at the Bureau of Indian Affairs, we can actually give you a payout. That's why you see a lot of casinos, so on and so forth, and stuff like that across the country. But in reality, although it's written, the de facto practice is that we're not equal, but we're considered unequal, and it's ongoing due to the lynchings, due to current day lynchings, and due to the current day sentencing of African Americans and African American women and men and other different ethnic groups. So it is still unequal despite the law being written. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, that fits right in with Stevie Wonder and that song, You Haven't Done Nothing, and us being sick and tired, right? That being said, we're going to transition, move right along, and bring back our student host, right, because we've jumped through history this morning so far, and we're going to take another jump. Justin Hill, good morning once again, and just give me a moment, right, so I can open up your microphone, right, and Justin, you're ready to go. Take it away for your last second. Okay, Justin, we're going to come back to you. Right now, what we're going to do is still continue to move forward, right? And we're going to bring in Mr. Shelton Harris. And Mr. Harris, first of all, is our music director. I've deemed him that and given him that title, and rightfully so, in my opinion, which I think matters, right? But this morning, you've chosen a particular person musically for Curtain. Now, I just want to remind the audience, Curtain is a segment where we're proud to present a particular artist and his or her, and this morning, his work behind the curtains of the stage to give back to the community from which he's come. Take it away, Mr. Harris.
Yeah, today, the person that I chose for today was somebody I always had a real strong feeling about, you know, because it seems like he was always talking about the plight of our people, at least here in America, you know, and this person is Curtis Mayfield, you know, and then even back in when he was first starting out in the late 50s and the early 60s, he was writing motivational type music. Well, I don't know if he was intentionally doing that, but his music became motivational to a lot of the civil rights groups that were going on at the time. And they used to sing his stuff during their rallies. And it was even a point where the dominant society was like, we can't be having him making all these type of records, because his number one song he had was We're a Winner was banned on a lot of radio stations across the country, you know, because of course you can't have anybody saying anything positive about black people. So, you know, he was really a fixture for me. And he also had this thing in his mind where he always needed to own the things that he created. He was one of the first black people, not the first, but one of the first who started his own record label. He had his own publishing and distribution deals, you know, and he used those vehicles to help other people within our community in the music frame. You know, he was great when it came to doing soundtracks for movies and stuff like that. But that was the stuff he did musically and some of the stuff financially. But even since his death in 1999, I believe it was, you know, he's had this scholarship called the Curtis Mayfield Scholarship that's given to seniors in high schools in Chicago and in Atlanta, you know, to help them progress after they graduate in whatever areas they wanted to, like, jump into. And, you know, and it's been, like I said, 23 years since he passed, and he's still reaching out and touching folks in the community, because he was right. We are winners, and we should never let anybody say that we can't make it. So that's the reason why I picked Curtis Mayfield.
Oh,
Justin, are you there? Good morning. Okay. So as we move forward, you know, there was a time, Mr. Harris, you know, where everybody was like every weekend going to see karate movies, and Bruce Lee was definitely and kung fu and learning martial arts. It was a big deal in the community, right? And I think that Curtis Mayfield, you know, definitely tapped into that, right? And definitely made a song as it pertained to it. And here is that song right now. Justin, are you there now?
Yes.
Okay, we'd like for you to present your last segment.
Again, this is Good Host Jess here, and it is now time for my last segment. This one is Like a Diamond. Each person represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and about to find yourself. And my last segment, which is diamonds, is on Claudette Colvin. And Claudette Colvin was a 15-year-old high school student who refused to move to the back of the bus and gave up her seat to a white person. Most people know about Rosa Parks and the Montgomery bus boycott that began in 1955. But few know that there were a number of women who refused to give up their seats on the same bus system. Most of the women were quietly fine, and no one heard. Colvin was ordered to move from her seat, refused, stating that she had a right to sit there, and she paid her fare. When she refused, the police arrested her. Colvin stated that one day of her refusal to move. She and her classmates were discussing injustices and black leaders. That is it for my segment of today's show. I thank God for listening. And again, this is student host Justin Hill on WSOU.
Okay. So we shuffled the board of history and talked about a number of different things. Tanisha, how would you sum up today's show?
Today was a really good show. Definitely a lot of people got a lot of information to do more research on their own.
Okay. And Tamir Davis, Mr. Davis, how would you sum up today's show?
Great show. Great show.
All right. Mr. Harris?
You know, and anytime we can bring Marcus Garvey and Curtis Mayfield together, that's a great show.
Okay, Justin, close us out.
First, I want to say it was a great show, and I thank everyone for joining us on Quest Community Vibrations. And make sure you check out our social media. Quest Youth Radio is the best.
The best.
Youth
radio.
Best.